Can you talk about Mike Dixon's data that he presented in San Antonio on higher doses of fulvestrant in premenopausal women?
Yes. I mean, it's a really interesting study that he presented. That really followed on from a study that we did 2 or 3 years before that, where we used the currently clinically used dose of 250 milligrams in premenopausal women. And we didn't see any effect on ER, PGR, or Ki-67, the proliferation marker. And that was given for about a 2 to 3 week period pre-surgery, which was the same time as we used it for in the postmenopausal setting. So we saw effects in the postmenopausal setting, but we didn't see effects in the premenopausal at 250. What Mike did was he then gave people a much higher dose, which was 750. And he gave it, I think, a 5 mL injection in both buttocks and one of the muscles in the thigh. And what he showed was, in fact, you did see similar effects in ER, PGR, and Ki-67 in premenopausal women at 750 milligrams as we'd seen in postmenopausal women at 250. And I think that comes back to the discussion we'd been having earlier about this competition between Faslodex and estradiol, that in a premenopausal woman, what you've got is a logarithmically higher level of estradiol. And so to give 250 milligrams, it was not competing out probably with the level of estradiol. And we also have other information on dose. For example, I mentioned before this pre-surgical study in postmenopausal where we'd given them 50, 125 or 250 milligrams. And we saw a dose-dependent reduction in the ER and PGR down-regulation. First thing to say is that down-regulation never went to zero, even at 250 milligrams. Pick up on it in a second. But it was a dose-dependent reduction. The second thing to say is that in the second-line study of Faslodex versus anastrozole post-tamoxifen failure, that study showed that Faslodex 250 milligrams was as good as anastrozole. And again, I make the point at the beginning so that people who are listening don't get the wrong understanding. Faslodex 250 milligrams in the postmenopausal setting is a good and an effective agent. But that study started off actually not as a two-arm study, but as a three-arm study. And this third arm was 125. And that 125 arm was dropped because it was less effective. And the point I'm making here is that the difference in downregulation of ER that we saw pre-surgery was actually translated into different clinical efficacy at 125. And so we're seeing something different in Faslodex compared to what we've seen in any other hormone therapy, which is that you're seeing a dose effect potentially. And so the question is, if you go higher than 250 in the postmenopausal setting, would you get a bigger effect? Have we got to the top of that dose response curve? And nobody knows that. So if you're potentially on the upward sweep still on the postmenopausal woman, you can imagine in a premenopausal woman where you get 10 times the higher level of estradiol, that 250 milligrams probably wasn't competing out with the estradiol. And so the 750 that Mike showed us is actually starting to have an effect.
And Mike told me that, I guess, they got 3 injections. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
3 injections, yeah.
Right. And that the patients, according to him, were okay with it. I don't know, have you had any patients get 3 injections?
We've not. We've given them 2 before in the postmenopausal, occasionally for loading, etc. But we haven't. I think the question really would be whether they would be okay with it in the long term, you know, in terms of an adjuvant program. Maybe in advanced disease, patients would accept that. But the question is that any better than giving them a Zoladex injection for a month and making them postmenopausal as to giving them 3 injections.
Or giving them an AI if they're postmenopausal. I mean, I guess the point I'm getting to is, you know, women with metastatic breast cancer are willing to go through toxic chemotherapy for responses, prolongations of responses. You know, a lot of the mm-hmm. chemotherapeutic approaches in the metastatic setting, a lot of, you know, side mm-hmm. effects. I'm a woman like that. Somebody says to me, well, you come into clinic and get 3 injections that really don't have any toxicity, but you're going to have 3 mm-hmm. injections in your butt. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Well, I mean, that's possible, but you'd have to do the study to show what the dose response curve in a premenopausal woman is, and that should be done.
How about postmenopausal women?
We need to do that as well. And I mean, I think that's part of the rationale for the development that's going on. And I agree that we don't know the optimal dose. We know a dose that's effective at 250, but we don't know the optimal dose. And I think part of the structure of studies I've been outlining to ongoing are to try and elucidate that. And there's a double strategy here. There's a strategy of increasing dose and a strategy of decreasing estradiol on both of those.
Sure, you know.
But we don't know the right dose.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing
the
is,
optimal dose.
I've been
optimal
hearing this discussed since the early 1990s.
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, it seems like it's going a little bit too slow. I mean, it was almost an obvious question when the drug came out. And it just seems like it's kind of taken a long time to sort of get these answers.
I think it has. I suspect part of the reason for that is that the AI became the dominant focus of endocrine studies. And whether that's because they were perceived to be a tablet and maybe more acceptable to patients.
Better in the adjuvant setting,
yeah,
maybe. Sure.
Also, too, whether it was perceived that there was more competition between three companies and therefore you had to get the drug to market, whereas with Faslodex, there's no competition in a sense. You can develop more at leisure. I don't know what the issues were, but you're right. It's taken much longer than one would have hoped to see the drug develop.
I mean, the thing that always was striking from day one with the drug was kind of how benign the side effects was. It's actually better than tamoxifen because there was no endometrial cancer and deep vein thrombosis. But even in terms of side effects and toxicity, you know, if you put that aside, I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to say. I mean, do you think, for example, it's comparable or better than tamoxifen in terms of vasomotor symptoms in the same patients?
In the first line study, it was slightly less. The p-value was verging on significance. It was p equal to 0.05. But I've said before publicly, and I state it again, I think Faslodex is probably the best tolerated endocrine therapy that we have.